When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620-CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. All-new Sports Cage. It is the Western Pizza guest hotline. Always a perfect night for Western Pizza and all their toppings. And if you don't want pizza, they got all the Greek classics. Souvlaki, Greek salad, pitas. Alan's over here just loving everything that I'm talking about when it comes to Western Pizza. Let's go out right now on that guest hotline. Farhan Lalji from TSN is joining us. Farhan, it's Ryder. We're getting Ryder fever here, football fever in Saskatchewan. And then it's almost like, you know, Crazyville this morning when people see that Nathan Rourke is being put on waivers or released by the New England Patriots. Probably not a huge surprise when you see what the Patriots did in the draft and who they have in the stable.
Yeah, not a surprise at all. I think that, you know, when they made the decision to draft two quarterbacks, I think that shocked a lot of people. And, you know, it was a lot of the same people that evaluated Nathan Rourke last year that are still with the Patriots now that wanted him to return. So, you know, I certainly don't know what would have happened if Bill Belichick had stayed. But, you know, when you talk about Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo, they had a chance to look at him, and he impressed the staff by all accounts then and made the decision to pick up his option. And then when they decided to kind of go the way they did at the draft, you knew, right? I mean, I'm surprised it didn't happen last week. And to be honest, I think this is a really good thing for Nathan, because when they made those decisions at the draft, you know, and quite frankly, even before that, because even before you make the move to get those guys, you knew they were going to pick a quarterback high, and you knew they had signed Jacoby Brissett. So it was going to be tough for him, right? And I knew there was some conversation that they move on from Bailey Zappi. They'd already moved on from Mac Jones, but the numbers are too high for him to just... When you're a quarterback like Nathan, all you want is a meaningful number of reps. And he was able to get that in the preseason last year, but never got it in practice. And the way it was lining up, even if they just took May and didn't take Milton in the later rounds, there still would have been reps that were hard to come by for Nathan. So ultimately, not a surprise. And if he can land in the right spot, I think it's a good thing, because New England was never going to be a fit for him.
Farhan, it's Derek Bidwell here in Saskatoon. And before we get to an incredible honor that you were given, that little tease there, and we want to talk about that, back to Nathan Rourke. What would be a good place for him to land? As you mentioned, you know, maybe New England was that place until the draft, and then, of course, they added those other two quarterbacks. But when you start to think around the league, is there a spot where you think, you know what, oh, he might be a really good fit, or they do have room for him? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Vegas was a spot that I thought would have been logical for him. You know, I thought that even a place like Buffalo, right, even with Mitch Trubisky as the backup, you know, you've still got a third spot that's open. And really, unfortunately for Nathan, right now that's what he's looking at, right, a potential place where you can go in and be a number three and then work your way in. So, you know, and that was a spot he was in last year, so that's certainly the unfortunate part of it. Arizona was another spot. You know, there's a few places out there. It just kind of depends on what you're angling for. And I think those third quarterback spots are important, but you don't really know how important they were till the end of the year, because there were over 50 quarterbacks that started a game in the NFL this year, right, because of the number of injuries. So there were some teams that got down to their number three, but you just kind of don't know until you get there, right? I mean, you know, look at Trevor Lawrence, and he did everything he could to stay on the field in every game, and then Beathard got kind of the one game. But it's so tough, you know, you don't know. So can you find a place that has an injury-prone quarterback, or, you know, like there's a few of those places, right? I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, they just brought in two quarterbacks this offseason, and Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. So, you know, you don't want to go there. They've already invested capital in that. You don't want to go where they've taken a high draft pick. You know, I thought the Saints would have been a really good spot for him, but then they took Spencer Rattler, even though he went late. You know, once that happened, you knew that was going to be a less than favorable scenario. So there are, you know, there are probably four or five spots, but he has to go through the waiver process, right? So that's going to take 24 to 48 hours, so a team could claim him at that point, right? But, you know, it doesn't look like he'll be in a mini camp next week, but we'll see if he finds a place to land. But I do think he's going to play the NFL out for as long as possible before potentially entertaining a move north.
So that's where I wanted to go, and you know him personally. So you look at the social media and how people are just, they're going off. They're either one side or the other, right? Like, it's just like, whoa, slow down. Can you explain to those people why financially and just personally, right? You only get one shot at this thing, and he's 26 years old now. Why he would keep chasing this NFL dream?
Because it's his dream. You know, and like, for me, I've got a 15-year-old son, and his dream is to play Division I football. And that's his dream, and that's what he should chase. And as a dad, that's what I should be supporting. That's the way it goes. You know, there'll come a time where someone's probably got to say that, okay, maybe this dream's not going to work out. Maybe you need to look at the next one. But do you believe this one out yet? And I get everybody wants to pass judgment on what he should do, but you're not him. And I don't mean you. I mean the collective fan bases, right? They should, to me, do I think the CFL is a better place with Nathan Rourke in it? Of course I do. But I also think the entire Canadian football landscape is better with him as a starting quarterback in the NFL, right? Because that'll inspire so many people to play football and go down those roads and things like that. So it's like, if you know Nathan, you know this isn't a money thing. His dream growing up was to play in the National Football League. And I know that's hard for some people in the CFL to hear, but that was his dream. Now, he loved the CFL. You know, he certainly gained a huge level of respect for him.
Now, Farhan, also the other thing about it, I guess, is, you know, like, when you're on the practice squad, I know that these guys want to be the starter. These guys want to be playing. They want to at least be taking meaningful reps in practice. If they can't be playing or starting in the game, they want to be at least taking meaningful reps in the practice. But if they're on the practice squad, you know, they're right there, right? Like, they're on the cusp. They're still making a couple hundred thousand U.S. dollars. It could be between, I think, 216 and could go all the way up, depending how old they are, to 370, I think, somewhere around there, American dollars on the practice squad. Different variables, different people, different scenarios. But the other thing is, I guess, is when you are somebody like Nathan Rourke, and this is your dream, I mean, you go down there and you just give it all you have. Like, you don't want to pull the pin. It's just like anything else in life, right? You don't want to pull the pin on something until you've absolutely given it your all, and you've exercised every possible chance that there is. And then when you do pull the pin on it, if he does and comes back to the Canadian Football League, then you have no regrets, right? You tried everything you could. You did everything you can. You worked as hard as you could. And you tried all your options, and then after that, then you can probably feel a little more comfortable in your own mind, in your own heart, where you are as well, too, and then you can devote a little more to it, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think he has to feel that way, that he's done everything he possibly could do, and I think that'll probably take most of another season, this season. You know, could he potentially change his mind in October or November? Potentially, but I don't see it at this stage. And then the other side of it is, if you are going to change your mind, the time to do that is next January, because then the decks will be cleared for you. Right now, everybody would be interested in him, and everybody would have to move heaven and earth, and it would be some complex transactions, because you look at all these quarterbacks that are getting paid a lot. All those guys have been given signing bonuses because they all restructured their contracts, maybe to take a little bit less, but that means signing bonus money up front. So for me, I think all nine teams would want to make Nathan Rourke their starting quarterback, including the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And that's no slight on Zach Collaros. It's just that Zach's now getting into his late 30s, right? Much like Trevor Harris is in Saskatchewan. So, you know, I think everybody would be interested, but the best time to do that is do it in January. You can make your decision at that point, and everybody can decide, they can allocate their caps however they want, and everybody can make their best pitch, as opposed to now you go somewhere that's trying to, you know, thread the needle through a haystack and you know, marketing money here and there and doing all of that. I just think if you're going to make the decision to come north permanently, that's the time to do it. Because I don't know that he would then go back and try the NFL again, because if you have two great CFL seasons and then you go, now you're 29, and now no one in the NFL is interested in you at that point, right? So this is the time for him to play that out, in my opinion.
On a scale of 1 to 10, if it was, let's say, 20 years ago and someone said you're going to be in the CFL Hall of Fame, where would you landed there?
Wow. Wasn't even on my radar, to be honest. And getting it now, while I'm totally honored and thrilled to get it, I'm just like, am I old? Right? Like, you get these things when you're old, don't you guys? Like, I'm 55. I thought maybe in 10 years. Actually, I never even thought about it at all. But when you get into a Hall of Fame, it's generally, okay, this is your goodbye, right? So hopefully it's not it for me. But honestly, the names that are in that group on the media wing, and I don't want to say any because I'm just going to leave a lot out, and just people that I admired growing up, people that were my mentors, people that were the gold standard in our industry, just to be mentioned alongside of those guys, let alone all the players in the football hall, right? The players and the builders and everything that went through that. So, you know, like Brian Williams is one guy, you know, I've just got to mention because we know, right? He's such an iconic guy, whether you're in the Olympics or whether you're in the CFL side. I mean, he's just mattered so much to so many, and like, to be in a hall with him, are you kidding me? Really? It's just a total honor, and it's been a really humbling 72 hours with people reaching out and saying all these nice things, and you know, the commissioner reaching out and other people around the league, and you know, and Chris Schultz is probably the other name I want to mention because he's in the hall, the late Chris Schultz, and he was such a good teammate to all of us at TSN, and him and, you know, and a guy like Paul McLean, another producer who's passed away, you know, to be mentioned with those guys is a true honor.
I'm a sports and Bidwell, I think you are too. I think I'm a sports broadcasting junkie. Like I've loved it since I was like 10 years old, went away from it, kind of now for some reason got back into it briefly here. But what reporters, which guys do you look up to still that are still doing it, Farhan? You know, is it maybe a Tom Rinaldi or someone, or, you know, who do you kind of look up to or maybe take a few things from when you're doing your gig?
Well, yeah, like from a reporter standpoint, Rinaldi is exceptional. He's a great person to mention because he's such a good storyteller. Mm-hmm. And he, when you listen to him, there's a level of empathy that comes out in his voice when he's telling some of the stories that he's telling. But, you know, when you look at it in terms of other platforms and genres, like Chris Cuthbert, and I probably shouldn't say this because he's now a competitor at the other side, but I worked with Chris when he was with us at TSN. What an incredible guy, right? And just so professional, and everybody around the league has so much respect for him. You know, and there's others that I just think do a great job that I don't necessarily admire in terms of want to be like, but I just think they're so good. Like, whether you're Ray Ferraro doing hockey or Jesse Palmer and Kirk Herbstreit, you know, on the college football side, like, I love listening to those guys.
Farhan, just a quick one here for you as well, too. We had Glenn Suter on, I think, about 2 weeks ago when he was... I think we had Glenn Suter on, I want to say it was about 2 weeks ago, and he talked about how he also likes to watch the NFL broadcast as well, too. Like, he watches, you know, the CFL and what's going on with the broadcast there. He rewatches what he does and what his colleagues are doing. But he also watches South of the Border as well, too, just to get some tips from those guys that are doing things down there, whether that's Troy Aikman being a color guy, or whether it's Olsen or one of the other fellas that's... maybe it's going to be Tom Brady this year. Who knows? But do you also look down at the NFL as well, too, and just broadcasters in general, maybe other sports, to kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, maybe, like, steal a little bit of it or just watch what they're doing?
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I mean, you know, the guys that even on a desk, Scott Van Pelt at ESPN is somebody I totally love listening to. And, you know, Ernie Johnson that does the TNT basketball broadcast. And, you know, and even back up here, like I mentioned, Chris Cuthbert, Rod Smith and our CFL and TSN broadcast, just guys that are so articulate, and they can be so insightful, they can be so concise, they can be passionate, they can just make you excited to, whether it's hear a news story, whether it's listen to a call of a game, whether it's the analysis that they bring, you know, on the color side. There's so many good ones, and you know, right? You know what's good when you hear it, and I know that we tend to have a critical eye on a lot of people because, you know, they don't have a certain level of street cred in some other, in certain areas. But all of a sudden, if you actually stop and listen to what's being delivered and put all the other stuff out of your mind, you realize how good they actually are. So, you know, on the sports side, we've got some great people in the industry. Myself, like, the one guy I looked up to growing up, and it wasn't a sports broadcaster, and part of this is ethnicity, but Ian Hanna-Mansing on CBC, right? Because there weren't people that looked like me that were in this industry, and he was one, even though he wasn't on the sports side. So just to be able to be inspired by him and know that, hey, it's possible, you can do this, I think it's a pretty good thing.
What's one thing that you haven't covered or haven't done in broadcasting that you still want to do?
And I don't know how much I want to do this, to be honest, because I've been blessed to do a lot of Super Bowls, and college football is my big thing, and I've gotten a chance to do that. I've done 5 Olympics, and I've done golf majors, but the one thing I haven't had a chance to do is a World Cup. And I turned it down one year because it was in Germany, and I turned down the chance to do it because I had just gotten married, and I'd been on the road for a ton of different things, and I just didn't want to spend 6 weeks on the road. But it's, you know, and I'm not a big soccer guy, to be quite honest, but it's such a world event that I think it'd be cool to do. I don't know that I'll get the chance to do it because my job has kind of changed, and it's really fully focused on football and the Canucks, and that's all I do. You know, before I used to do everything, and now it's like CFL, NFL, college, and the Canucks, and that, you know, and that's it. So I don't know that I'll get that shot, but I'm good if I don't.
Hopefully the wife still remembers that, and you still have those brownie points in your back pocket somewhere.
Long gone.
And then before we let you go, we have to get your take. What's the feel in Van City as they get ready for this powerful Edmonton Oilers team, which is the favorite, but yet don't have home ice?
Well, I think from a fan perspective, it's mixed, right? Like, there's a group of fans that are just so excited that, hey, we get another 2 weeks of this, and we haven't had it for 9 years, so this is cool. There's another group that are just happy that they got to the second round, because the way this team played post All-Star break, that was probably the expectation because they weren't as good. But, you know, from a player perspective, they really believe that they are who their record says they are and that they can beat the Oilers. And so, that McDavid and Draisaitl are incredible, and the Oilers are certainly much more balanced than they were before. But the Canucks are a legitimately good defensive hockey team that has some good offensive pieces. And if they play to their structure, even without Thatcher Demko, I think there's a belief that, you know, they don't need an act of God to win this series. They just got to play it a certain way. So a lot of excitement, you know, a lot of belief, and there is a certain level of, not from the players, but from the fan base right now.
All right, that is our TSN insider, Farhan Lalji, on the Western Pizza guest hotline. Give us a little extra today into the CFL Hall of Fame, eh, Bidzy? That's that's special. And he said
great for him.
He's not even that old.
Nah, he's been double fives. He's the old 55er. He's a 55er. That's not up there too far. No, for sure. I mean, he's going to probably be broadcasting for, I would say, at least another 5 years. 60, I would say.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, maybe,
for sure.
Maybe 65.
60 is the old 40. Right? Remember when we were kids and like you'd see this, you'd see Lloyd Sanders doing sports or who was nationally, anyone nationally, right? They were...
You do go for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. The shelf life
because
was
huge. It's the job too. It's enjoyable, as we all know. Like we're in it because we really enjoy it. And for broadcasters, they stick around for, like, talk about Chris Berman and some of these. Think about Vin Scully and some of these guys that call Major League Baseball that are play-by-play guys. Of course, we just lost the great Bob Cole. The reason they do it for so long is because it's a great gig. I mean, that's why these guys maybe do it for longer than most other occupations as well, too, that your job is to be a sports reporter, a sports play-by-play person, and it's a great gig, so they do it for a long time. So Farhan, well, maybe that being said, it's going to be around for a long time. So maybe it was a bit early, but nice for him. It just makes him feel the love from the Canadian Football League, and maybe he'll have an extra bit of passion for it as well now.
You know who the guy I was thinking about? That it just felt like he was our television news anchor for our whole lifetime from CTV, Lloyd Robertson.
Like Lloyd Robertson, of course.
And like he never really changed. He always looked the same. He was there when we were like 3 years old, and then he was there when we were 33 years old.
Even longer, yeah.
Unreal career. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.